Rusty Quill presents.
Welcome to Ain't Slayed Nobody. This is an actual play podcast intended for adults and may contain material that some people find disturbing. Please see the episode notes for content warnings and listen with care. If you found our show from Graham Patrick's guest writing on episode 3 of the Magnus Protocol, you might want to start with one of the campaigns he wrote on. Y'all of Cthulhu, our first ever season, is a complete horror campaign in the Old West. Next, we have Bleaker Trails, which is in the same setting. That has one complete season, and the final season is coming late in 2024. And if you're looking for something shorter and science fiction, we have a 6-episode Blade Runner series. Thank you so much for listening. We hope to see you around. Our Discord is slade.me/discord.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome to Push the Roll, a low-prep, dialogue-only actual play series that incorporates ideas from our Patreon posse into the game as the story develops. Join up at patreon.com/aintslade to contribute and enjoy the madness.
Thank you. Mel McCoy, you're in a small little room with a robed figure outside. They've ushered you in there so that you have privacy to get changed. There's another painting on the wall in here, and it looks to be of three women gazing over into a dark expanse.
Oh, spooky.
Can he, since he's been here before, take like a listen? Kind of like get up against the wall? He wants to hear if the pests are active.
Great, yeah. Do a listen roll.
I will not roll single digits, I promise.
Come on, Cub. Think positively.
Ooh! Oh my God! I do not promise. I rolled an 8.
Nice.
An 8, awesome.
Which is an extreme success for me.
My gods are smiling on you as well.
You press your ear to the wall, and as you do, you're just aware of how old this building is. The construction of it is, as far as you know, the local lore is from the 1800s. And as you press your ear to the wall, yes, there's something alive in there, creeping and writhing around.
Hmm. Do I have a sense of size on the extreme success?
Small, but a small swarm.
Oh, okay.
In the way that much of today is about film, an image of a film flashes in your mind that you saw once in science class as a small boy, a film strip. You remember the sound of the film projector, and it was of a fox that had died in the forest, and it was a time-lapse film of it decomposing. And you remember seeing the blur of flies swarming around it and maggots boiling out of its eye sockets. Mm. And once again, you're aware of the sense of this building itself as a sickened thing, roiling with the life that only comes after decay.
That film is why he decided to go into pest control, because he wanted to kill those things that he saw in the video. So I think that he's going to try to put the robe on over the costume and over the tank.
Okay.
And hope that they don't notice that he didn't leave the tank behind, because he knows he's going to need this spray, this pesticide.
To do his duty.
In this house. But I think he will take off the facial prosthetics to make it look like he's changed out of his out of his costume. He'll lean the mop up against the wall.
Great.
He'll take the tutu off as well, so there's a tutu left behind.
You got a mop, a tutu, and a Toxic Avenger face prosthesis are now limply dangling there. What about Darlene? What are you doing?
If I've been given an extra large robe, then the Godzilla head has come off, as have the hands. The rest of the costume is still intact, and the robe kind of goes over that.
So you're bulky as hell.
Bulky as hell with a little bit of a tail sticking out the back.
Nice.
It just kind of saunters out. Oh, yeah.
In your room, by the way, there was just another like dark painting of a woman holding a huge torch with, again, like three women surrounding her.
Do I have any reference point for that kind of imagery?
Yeah. Why don't you roll education?
Oh, dear. Not the smartest. You know what? I'm going to spend some luck to make that a regular success.
Nice.
It's Macbeth. It's the Scottish play. Perhaps if you've spoken, like, as far as things you've heard, that word cursed comes up again. The idea of that play as a cursed object, that it's a work of art that's charged with malefic energy. And that is just now kind of swimming into your awareness. Yeah.
I think she kind of gives a shiver. Ugh. Okay, well, it's just spooky town in here. And then we'll kind of like try to put it out of her mind as she goes back to find anybody.
Mm-hmm. Great. And now, Gary Kaplan.
Hmm.
You've been brought to a room. You've kind of gotten lost. This building seems somehow larger on the inside than it seemed on the outside. And you've been brought into a little room, and these two figures kind of sit you down. There's a case against the wall. They open it up with a creak and begin kind of thumbing through it, pull something out. The room is very dark. It's only lit by candles in the hand of one of them. You've been sort of placed in this chair, and as one like draws a screen down in front of you, and You can hear the other puttering behind you with something mechanical.
Well, sir, that was quite the feat of clumsiness.
I'm pretty sorry. I'm pretty sorry.
Yes, of course you're sorry. But tonight's affair is too important to be disrupted by blunders such as the one that you've committed. But fear not. We are not ungenerous. There's to be a VIP screening tonight, but you shall have a still more private screening.
And a mechanical whirring comes on behind you. And there is electricity in this building after all, because a film projector like sputters to life behind you. And suddenly, oh, your pupils shrink as a bright light hits the screen in front of you and you're being shown a movie.
Oh.
The two of them walk to the door and it's like, good evening to you, sir. Shut the door and you hear lock, lock, and so all you hear is the whir of the projector, and suddenly like 5, 4, 3, doop, and sputtering, and then you just see a title card. The film is silent. It just says, She Walks Backwards. And then, like, actors' names you don't recognize. And even though the title was in English, it looks as though all these actors are maybe for Eastern European. And then you just see a room. Then, like, jump cut, a woman is seated at a table. Jump cut, tea is pouring up out of a cup into a kettle. Like, the film seems to be running backwards. You see someone like jump up off of the floor and kind of land in a chair. Like it's a bunch of little backwards tableaus, a ball bouncing on the ground, bounce, 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 whoop, up into the hand of a little girl who sort of smiles into the camera. And then off in the distance of this, you see two people seated side by side and you can tell their mouths are moving. And there's something in the background that you can barely make out. And it's something moving towards the screen. And it appears to be a human figure walking backwards with a strangely kind of staccato gait. And she is walking backwards towards the screen as the two people just stare into each other, mouthing words. And you can see the ribs on this woman walking backwards, the bulges of the vertebra through her emaciated back as she comes closer to the screen, and the lank, dark hair that dangles over the back as she just kind of moves backwards, backwards, ever closer towards you. It jump cuts back to the ball in the hand of the girl as she has the same smile, but tears are running out of her eyes. And then it cuts back closer now. She's moving backwards. And as her elbow touches the screen bulges. And this woman begins to move out of the screen and is moving backwards towards you.
Okay. Yeah, Gary is panicking at this stage. I guess depending on whether or not I pass the sand roll that I'm sure is coming at this stage.
Oh, yes.
Let's go.
I have something I want to do, but we'll see whether I get to do it.
Great. Yes, roll that sand as suddenly something that cannot possibly happen is happening. This woman is kind of moving out of the screen backwards.
I did not pass the sand roll.
That's good. I like that. I like when that happens. Oh, dear. I yes. rolled a d6 and you just lost 6 sand.
Whoa.
Oh,
I love that.
Let's make that intelligence roll.
Yeah, unfortunately, Gary's actually quite smart.
Hmm. Uh-oh.
Yeah, and that is a success. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Oh, no. Oh, God, it's all happening. Yeah, it's all happening.
That's not good.
Yes, you don't know how to process what is happening. You're a cinephile. You've never even heard of this film. But my God, it's touching you in a way that a movie never has before.
In that it's touching you.
In a stabby kind of way.
Yeah.
the people of Hammer Horror, oh, you've maybe young Gary had some of these glamour shots up on his wall, but now one of them is coming to you. You might just need to embrace her.
Yeah, I think Gary's just getting up out of his chair and reaching out towards the screen, enraptured.
My God.
Yes, as a foot comes backwards out of the screen and another is deathly pale. It is though it is retaining the qualities of its black and white cinematic form as it moves backwards out of the screen. You are reaching towards it. And it bends now back. Its spine warps backwards.
Oh, my God.
And its hair falls out of its face. And you look into its eyes. And let's go to our other folks.
Oh, my God.
Nice.
That's so scary.
So you've come out of your various changing rooms, and you're now dressed in black. You're moving, although significantly bulkier than the other forms that are wandering around. And the figure that approached you at first, Samantha, is like, the screening is about to begin, the VIP event of the evening. I believe Miss Cole has already taken you her seat, if you'd be so kind, Mr. Chalamet.
Of course, I think we're ready. I think we're fine, right, Mr. Chalamet? You're ready?
Sure, but what exactly is it that we're going to be watching? I thought we've sat through a lot of movies tonight. It's like, yes, indeed, but none like this. This is from the personal collection of Mr. Foster Aikman himself. Are you familiar not only with his work as a host, an interlocutor of the horrific cinematic art, but also as an archivist?
Well, no. I kind of just thought that he was like, you know, a popular figure. I thought he was just interested in the limelight. I didn't quite realize he was such a intellectual.
Oh. I assure you, his dabblings in popular entertainment were only the tip of a very deep iceberg that plunged to very precipitous depths.
I'm more familiar with the current Baron von Madblood.
Yes, yes, that a clownish figure that we pay no mind to, a purveyor of foolish pedestrian cinema and worse music.
Oh, you mean the spookies?
Yes, the goofies. I speak, madam, of the goofy spookies. Yes.
Yeah, I've seen many a concert of theirs.
Yes. Horrific artifacts of the camp variety are not our purview. We enjoy art that is considerably more sincere. They're leading you down a hallway into a dark room that looks like as you enter it, again, candlelit. There are candles on sconces on the walls. This looks like a screening room. And yes, Kendra Cole is seated there. She kind of gives you a little wave and she mouths to you just like, weird, right?
Yeah, the budget. I'm really amazed at the effort that they went into.
Maybe all of you can make a spot hidden in here.
Are we there? We were kind of making our way there.
You're all being beckoned in that direction, but you can totally peel off if you'd prefer.
The only thing I potentially would peel off for is Mel's going to be looking for access to the crawl space so he can spray.
Okay.
After hearing that. So like old structures like this sometimes have trap doors and closets or utility rooms. So anything that looks like that, he would go into.
That seems like it might not even be a spot hidden. That might be your art. That's the kind of thing that you'd know.
Ooh. Wow, that is your art and that's your craft.
I had it as a science, but I'm feeling the art more, I think. Yeah.
Just like baking is a science and cooking is an art, I think pest control can be both.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, exactly a hard success.
Wow.
There's a staircase going up that the group is passing on their way to this sort of screening room. But you can see there's a small little like door in there on the side of the staircase. And you get the sense that that might not just be a closet. That can probably take you into recesses of this castle, so-called.
That's perfect. Somehow he has a headlamp that was, I don't know, in a pocket of the costume.
Really? Pretty lucky.
Okay. He is an exterminator. So, yeah, he'll sneak in there if it's unlocked and put on the headlamp, if you'll allow that. Maybe a luck roll's in order.
Yeah, roll luck. See if you can get in there. Actually, I will roll. What is your luck?
55.
Okay, I won't do this on a public one, but I'm going to roll it just to see if anyone notices you, and you won't know.
Oh, notices.
That's fun.
You'll get in either way, but if you succeed, no one sees you do it.
I see.
All right.
Trying to read your body language.
You got in.
Okay.
And it is dark, and there is like open, creaky stairs going down. And you can see up ahead of you, yeah, this place is wired for electricity. It looks like there might be in your headlamp. You can see there's like a dangling bulb down there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, do you want to continue going down?
Yeah, I'll make my way over to that and turn the light on. Mel actually isn't scared of this kind of stuff. This is what he does every day. He's a little scared of this particular building, but like this space isn't that uncomfortable.
Great. You move into the space and you can see like there's lots of shelves down here. It looks like almost like the way like a library or a collection is laid out. There's VHS cassettes and there's lots of lots more film canisters around.
Huh.
It's like a little warren of them. And you can tell already that some of these have been nibbled by rats. But as you look around, I mean, you dress as the Toxic Avenger. You're into camp, bonkers, gore cinema.
Yeah.
But none of these titles are familiar to you. You're just passing films with names like Demdike Fenn, I'll Run to Thee, Darkness Visible, The Hall, The Dissolved, Screamer, Happy Wedding. Like, you've never heard of this stuff.
Yeah. He's going to try to remember two or three to tell Gary to see if it was interesting to him.
Great. And as you take another corner, yeah, you even see and you catch like a little, like some insects, like skittering into a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's clearly a problem here. And then you see like a little platform with another case on top of it.
I'll walk toward that. I'm also like kind of spraying at the base of the wall as I head over there.
As you spray, you just hear like, you hear the clicking and chittering of things in the walls as they recoil from your poison. It's a case about 5 feet long with a latch on the side.
I should have sprayed this whole house last time. Yeah, I'll open the case. I mean, roaches and things like that. I like to hide in places, boxes and cases.
You creak open the case. And yeah, you see some bugs and things like skitter away from two crossed hands, two withered, borderline mummified hands. You're looking at a corpse, Mel. It is dressed in dark formal attire, patent leather shoes, black trousers. It looks like the type of clothes, it's very dandified. In fact, it looks like there's a little cravat at the neck. But the thing is like that's where it terminates because this thing don't have no head.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And so please make a sanity roll as you see this coffin with a headless corpse inside.
Wonderful. Yeah, I'll roll that. Ooh, I passed by one.
Wow.
Yeah, 4,950.
All right, great. You'd lose 1 point of sanity.
Got it.
Yeah, my God. It's a coffin. You're looking at a coffin. They're keeping a dead body in the basement of this place.
I think since I did lose a point, I'm just going to instinctively spray the body. The wand is out. The chemicals are being sprayed.
You spray the body. Interesting. Yeah, you spray it. And as you do so, the spray, like you feel it almost like lurch in your hand away from it's like it's hard to do somehow. Now you're becoming more and more aware of this palpable force and sort of presence in this space.
I think backing away the way that he came, going back toward where the door was.
Yeah, you don't just back away. You feel a jolt as you are pushed backwards. Boom! And you are, let's see, like almost like taken off your feet.
Ooh.
Let's just see how that strikes you. It got a hard success.
Oh.
Oof.
You are pushed down.
Okay. Do I need to make another sanity roll?
I think so.
That feels like a different kind of terror.
Being telepathically pushed by a corpse.
Okay, I passed that one too.
Wow.
That's 1 point of sanity loss. Wow. Sure, maybe that you just tripped on something or not. It felt just like a, like some, not hands, just like a wall, like struck you.
I gotta check the pressure on that sprayer. She's kind of like now like crawling, like crab walking back toward the door backwards. I want to keep my eyes on the case, though, as I'm doing that.
Yes, you keep your eyes on it, and you can see more insects kind of falling out of the lid as they struggle out away from the spray that you put on it.
Yeah.
The spray that kind of bleached it, the dark clothes that the corpse was wearing.
I think, oddly, the insects ground him a bit. Maybe that's why he passed his sanity checks. It's like, it feels okay. At least there's bugs everywhere. So he's going to scooch out of here to the extent that you'll let him.
Great. Yeah. Scooch away. You scooching all the way out?
I think I'm going to take more interest in the shelves. I kind of want to know what's going on down here.
You've got film canisters and tapes. What would you like to do with them?
Rip them open. Just like opening canisters, looking for anything unusual.
So you pop one open. Yeah. Why don't you just roll luck?
Okay.
Ooh. Ooh.
94. Not a fumble, but not a good roll.
You rip one off the wall. It's a small old film canister caked with rust. On the side of it, you can see that the writing on it is in French. It says, Du écorché. And you kind of prize it open. And in the light of your headlamp, you can begin to pull up the film. And you can't really grasp what you're seeing as you pull it through the light of your headlamp. At first, you're like, oh my God, is this like a wounded person? It looks like a human form that's been lacerated in some way. As you pull up, the illusion of movement begins to take hold as you pull it through the light of your headlamp. And perhaps you can even see it so, sort of like projected on the wall as your headlamp shines through the film, crudely animating the film as you pull it across your beam of light. And you realize that it is a flayed body. It is a body without skin, its teeth in a rictus, its eyes bulge with no lids to contain them. That's not somehow the worst part. It's that, like, it's humanoid, but it's not human.
Oh, no.
Make a roll of sanity.
Maybe I'll fail one of these.
God.
But not this one.
Not today.
29.
You succeeded the sanity roll?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yet again.
Wow.
Do I lose one or no?
These practical effects are amazing.
Yeah, let's say you lose two for that.
Okay. Chip away.
So you're all right here going fast. And so let's just leave like the warping, odd,
yeah,
like figure of this flayed body that seems to be almost like looking at you from the stone wall as your beam is shining through the film. Those lidless eyes regarding you in a head that is human-esque, but not quite right.
He lost a little bit of sanity, but he did pass the roll. If you'll let me, I want to shove the film into the robe, like an inner pocket.
You do so.
I want to show Gary. I want to see if this is real, because it felt real. I want to see if it's real or if it's effects.
Well, I hope everyone here is comfortably seated. I must confess there are certainly more attendees at tonight's very important persons event than we had originally intended to play host to. I'm sorry. I saw a hand up. I did not wish there to be a Q&A portion of this evening's proceedings until after the screening, but please, where would my manners be if I didn't answer your cues? What do you have?
I am so sorry. Is there a bathroom somewhere around? I think Darlene has clocked that Gary isn't anywhere here, and so I think that she's just a little, she wants to go find him. I'm so sorry. I have a small bladder. I just have to pee. If there's a bathroom.
Yes. Of course. Could you escort Miss, what was it?
Officer Zilla, reporting for duty.
a distinguished keeper of the peace. If you could escort her to the toilet, I'd be most obliged.
And two of those figures kind of like come out of the doorway and are like beckoning you to follow them.
Follow.
And yeah, once again, they're leading you down a hallway. It's like, how is this place this large? You pass a staircase and go up the stairs. Perhaps, Mel, at this moment, you hear steps from up above as you ascend.
The sprayer's pointed under the stairs.
And you are brought to a restroom. They flank the door.
I think she kind of like steps halfway in and then she kind of looks at them and she's like, dudes, are you just going to like stand there and listen to me pee? That is... That's really, really weird. I can find my way back.
They sort of look at each other. Yeah, why don't you make a persuade or a fast talk to see how this takes effect.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Okay, let me just check on.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
Okay, so I rolled a 15.
Ooh.
I'm going to spend some luck to make that an extreme success.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think you've shamed them with like, you're going to stand there and listen to me pee?
Dude, that's so weird.
They kind of look at each other and, yeah, very well. Just be back down shortly. The show is about to begin.
I'll do my best. Got a big bladder, though. I mean, a small bladder, but a lot in there, so it might take me a second.
They're just kind of like, I don't know if you've ever been in like an old church. It feels like that kind of bathroom. It's the plumbing looks like very 1930s. This building's very old, but it's, you know, porcelain, mirror, sink.
I think she's going to turn the water on for a second, but then press her ear up against the door to listen for footsteps down the stairs again.
You press your ear against the door. You hear them if your steps descending. And what do you do now?
If I feel like they're away, I think I'll just like crack the door a little and peer down the hallway, see if it's clear.
As you kind of like listen and kind of take stock, your eye catches the mirror for a second. And for a second, you're like, this, you look again and it's not. But for a second, you're like, when you looked at the mirror, you were looking at the back of your own head. It was as though the mirror was oriented backwards.
Yes.
Whoa. Is it still like that?
No.
This place is spooktacular. Okay, if I turn away and then look back, is it still me? Do I see my back of my head?
You turn away, you look back, and yes, it's the back of your head.
It's so weird.
Yeah, that is so weird. Why don't you make a sanity roll?
Yeah, just fucking... I failed.
Yes, okay. 2 points of sanity loss.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, in the dark room, you like, you lift your hand, it lifts its hand, and it, oddly you see the back of your hand when you do that. It's like as though you're looking not at a mirror, but a screen showing a point of view of a camera set up behind you.
So weird. If I reach out to kind of like see if it's actually a mirror versus like, I don't know, something strange. Do I see my hand go up as I kind of like start to reach out for it?
As your hand goes up, yes, it reaches forward. As you do that, you kind of like try to get a vantage point because you realize you'd be looking into the mirror. And as you do that, you can see like the infinity effect, a cascade of Darla Edwards telescoping off into infinity over your own shoulder. Off in the distance, like the furthest one you can perceive, you see the head like whip around, screaming, and all of them, domino effect, are like, like coming towards you. And as you kind of like fall backwards from that, and then it's just your face again.
I'll go ahead and roll sanity for that nonsense, which I did fail again.
That's 3 points of sanity.
Okay. Yeah, I think she'll skedaddle out of the thing after that.
Yes, as you depart. And where are you headed, do you think? Who are you looking for?
I think now she's a little freaked out, and so she's just looking for a friendly face. So she knows everyone's probably downstairs, but as she's going, she's just kind of like loud whispering, Gary! Mel! Gary! Mel! Where the fuck are you guys?
That's a very good question.
All right, Gary, make a power roll.
Ooh, that's a hard success.
Nice.
You're seated in a very nice jacket at a very nice table in an odd sort of space. Your teacup is being emptied as you pour it backwards into the kettle. Your daughter is there playing ball off in the corner. The ball is going into her hand. She smiles sweetly at you. Your wife is right there across from you, and she speaks to you in Russian, which you totally understand. And you look to your left, and you're aware of a hole in space where you can see yourself looking at you and looking into the eyes of her, looking into her eyes. And if you don't get out of here soon, you're going to be stuck here.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, why don't you make an athletics roll?
Gary's tough, right?
Sorry, when you say athletics?
Something to clear that gap.
Yeah, jump.
Jump, I love, great.
Well, actually, I don't know whether you'll buy this, but I think before doing that, seeing this figure leaning over and looking into my eyes in the chair, I'm going to try to distract it, first of all. So what I'm going to do is snatch my daughter's ball away from her and throw it at the back of the figure's head.
Great. It's tilted all the way over. You can, like, you snatch it. Yeah, give us a roll to accomplish that. Would that be throw?
Yeah, I rolled 31 against 20. I don't have much luck, but I am going to spend 11 luck on this. I want to succeed.
Yeah, you grab the ball from your daughter. Something in you realizes you're only able to do this through your powerful force of will. Perhaps your cinephilia is like, in a way, some sort of like superpower in this. Like you're not playing by the logic of reality anymore, but by the dream logic of cinema. And like, it's not like you walk over to your daughter, you suddenly cut to your daughter and take the ball out of her hand. She starts to cry, "Daddy," as you whip the ball.
Oh, freak.
Out through this hole in space. It strikes her. And at that moment, your perspective snaps back to yourself standing in the room as she sort of unfolds in front of you. She's no longer looking at you, but you're aware that you are now in this locked room with her as she moves backwards towards you again. But your consciousness is now fully settled back into this veil of reality. The film continues to... as you can see your daughter like crying and screaming with the ball out of her hands. The ball rolls against the wall in this room.
Oh my God.
What do you do?
Oh, is the projector a freestanding thing or is it built into the wall?
It's freestanding. It's just there.
So yeah, I'm going to whip my cape off and just throw it over the projector.
Great. I think you don't think you even need a roll for that. You throw your cape over the projector. It is like, you can hear it struggling against the material. The light in it kind of like judders and fades. And as it does that, all the light in this room goes away because that was the only source. And you're quiet. And then you can just hear a shuffle. And there's something still in this room with you. And let's go back to the screening room.
Oh my God.
Seems our friend has a large bladder indeed. But I would not wish to keep you from the night's entertainment. As you say, you've already seen so much.
Yes, Mr. Chalamet has a very tight schedule, and I'm sure he has things in the morning tomorrow that he needs to take care of. So I know I'm just security detail, but I just want to make sure that he is emotionally and physically safe as well as healthy.
Healthy, yes. And he is the picture of health, as are you all. So let us have this screening so that we may all benefit from Miss Chalamet's health. And he kind of nods. There is a little booth in this room. This is a more kind of like structured screening room. And you can't quite see in, but suddenly light passes through and onto the screen. And there's another movie being projected here. And you can sort of hear it crackling.
The quality of this light is strange, Samantha. It seems like filtrated somehow. It is like yellow and febrile. There's something off about it. As your interlocutor, this unnamed robed figure who's invited you here, Mr. Aikman has a very extensive collection. Very many pieces. Throughout all of human history, the artisan and the storyteller make objects of communication, not only to his fellow man, but to spheres beyond. These are artifacts of particular power. Please enjoy. And then you see on the screen a title card, and it just says, "Death may also die." And then it fades away into this is a black and white bit of cinema. You seem to do hear a soundtrack. It just sounds like a heartbeat. And you're looking out over like a desert expanse, maybe? And across the desert expanse, there is a tall figure walking. And then it like jump cuts a little bit closer. They're coming much closer. The moon seems to rise in the background. This figure comes closer, ever closer. And it is a tall, darkly complexioned man. Very thin, with a sort of imperious aspect. Where is this shot? Is this shot in like Egypt or the Middle East or something? It just is like a barren desert. It's like you can barely even imagine how this was accomplished. And then like there's a very piercing gaze in this person who just walks up to the camera and extends hands, and his mouth opens and continues to open and continues to open. It's as though the jaw unhinges, revealing more mouth, like a second mouth. And you're suddenly finding yourself hypnotized by a fractalizing jaw that just seems to go on forever. And why don't you roll power yourself?
Okay. Jesus. Oh, man. Ooh, God. I rolled a 65, which is 5 over my power. And I'm going to spend that luck. I'm going to spend that luck to pass.
Okay, great. Then yes, you pass. You feel yourself kind of being given up to this thing, falling into it. And you can kind of catch yourself with that feat of power and pull yourself back.
Wow, the power of cinema.
The power of cinema, indeed. And you take 2 harm.
Oh.
And this is not physical harm. This is psychic harm. As you feel your very vital essence leached from your body by what you're seeing. If you look to your left, Charlie Chalamet is sitting there slack-jawed, his eyes completely glazed.
Charlie?
Kendra Cole is likewise, like, slumped forward, mouth agape. The dark-robed figures are turned away from the screen, and you can hear they're just kind of muttering to themselves.
Charlie, you okay? Man, he really does love his movies. Gets involved. I think I'm going to shake him, shake his shoulder, though.
As you shake him, a streak of gray appears in his hair.
Whoa. I know that actors are often much, much older than they look, but I didn't see that before. Charlie, snap out of it, buddy. It's just a movie.
And you hear, like, just the power of Osu, he will live again. The sigilism of the ancients comes again. With the power of this, he will live again. To take the youth of the unworthy, to give to the ascended master. The ancient Mahatmas of old give their energy to him, so that he may walk again, to guide us once more. That the Gimguls come back, cycle once again. In strange eons, even death may die.
You can see that, like, Kendra Cole's hair is turning white. It's as though you're watching a Charlie Chalamet age a year every second.
Charlie, snap out of it. Charlie, I'm going to keep shaking him and trying to wake him up. He is the object of her desire, so she almost doesn't care about anything else other than, like, waking him up.
What? And he kind of falls out of his chair in a heap onto the floor of the screening room. It's like, what? What?
Samantha? Charlie, Mr. Chalamet, sorry. Are you okay? You seem like you've had, like, some sort of... Do you have epilepsy or something? They should have asked about that before, you know, when I go to Busch Gardens and when I go to Universal Studios Orlando, they usually say, like, epileptics should not watch these shows because there will be, you know, strobe lights. And this is sort of unconscionable. It's irresponsible. Charlie, are you all right?
Something wet is on your hand.
Charlie? What is this?
As you look over, there's a puddle forming on the floor.
Ah.
And it's in the direction of, like, where Kendra Cole was seated. And as you look over there, you can see that not only is she aged, she is melting.
Oh!
There is a pool of effluvia forming under her. Her clothes are collapsing in on themselves as she deflates and decomposes rapidly, her eyes still transfixed on the screen.
Oh my God, Jesus.
And please make a sanity roll.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, oh my goodness gracious.
Effluvia, such a pretty word for such a gross thing.
Ooh, that, I passed.
Great, you take 2 points of sanity loss for seeing a person dissolve in front of you.
Yeah, that's still pretty bad.
Charlie Chalamet just whispered, "You got to protect me, officer."
Charlie.
As the sound of this heartbeat on the soundtrack just grows louder, as you hear all of them, their muttering is obviously a chant. In strange eons, even death may die. In strange eons, even death may die. And back in the basement, as you move backwards, this film of this flayed entity being packed into your garments, you suddenly hear a boom, 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 and your light, like, is thrown onto the opposite wall, and you hear a crash as the case shatters to the ground, and you are now hearing more sounds as skitters on the floor, a dragging, a sound of forced and labored respiration. What do you do?
Run. Go as fast as I can away from that, back toward the door.
But I think as you do, you can't help it because the beam of your light catches it as you swing around and you see the crumpled body that was in that makeshift coffin, its emaciated and desiccated fingers growing a little bit more lively as a fluid is pouring out of the neck aperture.
Oh!
Seeming to swell and bulge. And for a moment, you get the sense that this thing is like, the neck is in a way giving birth to a head right in front of you as it is like reconstituting itself on the floor of this basement as you make a run up the stairs.
I'll roll San again, if you'd like.
Yeah, I was going to say, wow.
He has a second where he wonders, like, is that fipronil coming out of the... Oh, and then he realizes what he's seeing is disgusting.
You got to fail one of these eventually.
I didn't fail. I rolled a 35. It's terrible.
He's the sanest of us all.
Seriously.
Come on.
Is that a freebie or do I have any cost?
So that's a freebie for you.
Okay.
You've seen a lot of disturbing things in your line of work.
That's true. I saw a headless raccoon once that was still walking somehow.
Oh my God.
You charge up the stairs and you can burst out of that door unobstructed.
Great.
Because it seems as though no one saw you go in.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, good.
And you're now back in that hallway.
Is Darlene there?
Darlene, I think, is moving around going, Gary, Gary.
Is there any chance that she might hear Gary's, I think, inevitable shrieks of terror?
Yes, I think so. You hear a shriek, a familiar shriek, in the voice of Gary coming down a hallway behind a door as you rush up to it.
Is this upstairs or is this downstairs?
This is downstairs. I think you've come all the way down.
Yeah, so just like hustling down the stairs and kind of rounding a corner. And was Mel under the stairs?
Mel was under the stairs, yeah.
Do I see a tail like around the corner?
You see a robed figure go by as you emerge with a tail.
Yeah, I'll chase after.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Thank you for listening to Ain't Slayed Nobody. For ad-free episodes, lots of bonus content, and special programming, please join our Wolf Pack at patreon.com/aintslayed or subscribe to Ain't Slayed Nobody Plus at Apple Podcasts. Nothing helps the show more than becoming a subscriber. See our show notes for full credits and help us grow by posting friendly reviews and spreading the word to your friends and followers. Thank you, and good luck out there.